Such a presence when he comes on the scene. It just makes everything so much wonderful. And you know, in this time of Thanksgiving, I hope you all just reflect, be with your families, but think about what God has done for you and share that with someone. You know, that's a key within Brother Brown's ministry. When he come up and someone would come up to get prayed for, he said, now go thank him. Thank him for what you want in your heart, and just being thankful and telling God, thank you for that. It just brings a power of faith on the scene. And I'm thankful to be here with you, and be here knowing the Word and the Word being flesh. Amen. Amen. We're going to ask Brother Aaron, would you come and lift up the offering for us this evening? Amen. Thing we can be thankful for is our freedom in God tonight. Amen. For a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy and sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out through his saving power. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out and show me the way. Like a bird out of prison that has taken its flight, like a blind man that God gave back his sight, like a poor wretched beggar that found fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out through his holy name. Oh, you happy for that? Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Hallelujah. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah. I'm saved, saved, saved. That is, I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out and show me the way. Oh, let's sing that last verse again. Like a bird out of prison that has taken his flight, like a blind man that God gave back his sight, like a poor wretched beggar that found fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out through his holy name. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved. Glad that I found out he could bring me out and show me the way. Oh, thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Oh, hallelujah, I'm saved. I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out and show me the way. Hallelujah. Amen. He truly is the way, the truth, and the life. Sister Rebecca, you have a testimony you'd like to come give? We're going to ask her to come at this time and give it to you.
Y'all probably can hear me anyway. I just want to give two quick testimonies just to reflect and just thank the Lord. And I think he comes in when I'm weak. That's when I see him show up a lot. So it was one incident. I wasn't back in church yet, but I kind of started feeling the feeling that I needed to start going back to church. This was in the past. So on the day I happened to show up, we had a visitor, so he came up and he gave a testimony on paying his tithes. And he was like, when he paid his tithes, you know how God blessed him and everything. And so I was sitting in my seat. I'm like, well, I was listening to him, and I had maybe $2 or $3 in my purse. I don't know how much it was. And I started feeling a little bit of conviction, like, man, maybe I need to start paying my tithes. I know it's right, but I haven't been doing it. So I said, well, maybe when I get paid next time, I'll just start from afresh or whatever. And so it was another feeling that came over him, like, just pay whatever you got. If you got $3, pay 30 cents. Pay 10% out of it, right? So I ended up putting the 30 cents in the tithes basket. And I said, okay, I'm starting today then. So that same week, I took Isaac. Isaac was probably about 5. I took him to the shoe store. Some money came in from somewhere, I think from his dad, to get him some shoes. So we went to the shoe store, and if you have little boys, my Isaac, he was very active, so you can't just go buy like $5 tennis shoes. That'd be Torben the first week, you know? So I was like, well, I think I probably had like $50, and I was like, well, let's get something, maybe $45 or something with a little bit of quality in it, right? Yeah. So he was looking in the Jordan section. Everybody know Jordans cost a lot, right? So he was looking in the expensive section and wanting the best shoes. I'm like, Isaac, we can't do that. You got to come on this side. So this lady overheard us, and she was like, let him pick whatever shoe he want. So I'm like, are you sure? She was like, yeah, let him pick whatever shoes he want. I'm like, man, that changed everything, you know? So I'm like, man, I don't even know what to pick now, you know? So he's looking at everything, and I guess we're taking too much time. And she's like, she said, finally, she's getting ready to leave. So she's like, here's like, I think she gave me $300. She was like, here's $300 or $200, something in that 100 list. She's like, just let him pick and y'all take your time or whatever. I was like, are you sure? But anyway, the point is, God is so good, and he do open up the windows. And it just reflect back to that little 30 cents I put in that basket, or 20 cents. So that was one testimony, but God is so faithful. And he met us when we needed it, because Isaac was in need for sure. The second one is, it was a situation, this is a weak moment again, where God definitely showed up, and this happened recently. But I was at a customer house, and this particular customer, it was past time for me to go. It was too many little things happening, and I was feeling uncomfortable, and I just kind of went ahead and gave him one last shot just to get the house clean for him. So he ended up, in my point of view, kind of belittling me a little bit and when I showed up. And so I ain't going to lie, y'all, I felt a little flurry inside. I was feeling myself getting a little bit flurry, you know, like, okay, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to be able to clean this house feeling anger inside, you know? So anyway, I just walked off and I just started working, and somehow God helped me to stay humble and calm. But inside, I was feeling upset, I ain't going to lie. So I was feeling upset, and I was reflecting on other stuff that already had happened. And I was like, Lord, I can't be in this man's house feeling this way about him. And, you know, just help me, because I feel like just spraying and wiping stuff and hurry up and getting out of there. You know, that's how I felt. But I was like, Lord, please help me. So something came over me and was like, just do it as you're doing it unto me, you know. And that really helped me calm down in each room, just take my time, do it right, and just, you know, just, I kept saying, oh, Lord, help me in each room, help me, because I take me probably like 4 hours, but it felt like it was taking forever, because I was feeling that feeling inside. So, but the Lord helped me to calm down, and after I left, he called me the next day. He was like, when I woke up, I just felt like, he said, you can feel the clean, you can feel the clean. And I was like, yeah, I thank the Lord for that, because definitely if I just did it on my own, you would have felt something else. But no, I just want to thank the Lord. He's so good, and he shows up, and he understands all of my feelings, and you can't hide it from him. He knows when to comfort you. He knows when to, you can't hide and just say, I'm not feeling it. He knows when to show up, and I'm just so grateful for him. I don't know what I'd do without him. Amen. Each step of the way. I won't lie, so I just want to lift him up. That's it.
Amen. So thankful for those testimonies. They may seem little, but I'll tell you, you never know how God can use your testimony to you. Get up and tell it, or tell it to somebody. And I remember you told that testimony about Isaac, and it just shows how he's an on-time God, you know, a present help in the time of need. But something else you just said that just reminded me of the situation there, cleaning. You said, the Lord said, whatever you do, do it unto me. That is such a key. We were recently at our tree practice, and one of the ministers there started to talk to the kids about a little sermonette, and he used that scripture. He said, whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. Whatever you do, even if your parents say, you know, you need to do this, and you need to clean your room, instead of being angry, say, Lord, I want to do it for you. In everything you do, do it, and it changes your attitude of what you do, whether good or bad or how you feel. Do it unto him, and you'll receive more of a blessing. You'll receive more of a presence of God come into the atmosphere, and it just, you don't worry about the temporal things then. God, I live my life for you. I wake up every day. I go to work. I don't like the job. I don't like this, but I'm doing it for you, and it makes it worthwhile because he lives. We can live also. Amen. Let's all stand. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart words of life, words of hope. Oh, gives us strength. Gives us strength, it helps us cope in this world. Wherever we roam, the word of God will guide us home. Oh, word of God, ever true, is changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the blessed word impart holy words of our faith. They're handed down to this age. It came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of for our walk in this
this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart. Oh, the word of God, ever true, is changing me, is changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God.
Amen. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord on a Tuesday. If I don't get to see you before Thanksgiving, have a happy Thanksgiving. Visit family and friends. Eat a lot. You're going to anyway. Why do I have to tell you that? Aaron's not going to eat a lot. Oh, he's going to eat turkey. A lot, it must be something else. Amen. Had a good weekend this weekend with Brother Tim with us. It was really enjoyable. I appreciate Brother Tim. He brings a wonderful ministry to the Bride of Christ, and we sure do appreciate him. Amen. And appreciate what he brought to us. Very timely. Read the same quotes I had read, and one I'm going to read same tonight from the Visible Union. And we'll just continue on now with the Son of Man. Now we're going to speak on opening of the book. Because remember, we're transitioning to perfection. There's a transition between what we had and what the denominations had, what even the church age had. Right. Hello, somebody. Right. We got to transition out of that. Remember, we got to be called out of that church into the bride age, but it's the final age. There was always a bride in the through the ages. But this is the final one. This is the perfection. And we've got to transition into that. We've got to come out of these, even our own dead creeds, our own things that we have in our heart. Amen. That's Amen. Not right with God. Right. Everybody with me? Amen. So now remember, this coming Sunday, for those of you that are online, and I don't know if we can put it out on, I think, Brother Joe, I need you to put it out on our WhatsApp and on our Facebook page. We're going to have one service next Sunday, this coming Sunday, which will be the first, but we'll have communion foot washing right after that. I don't have any questions. That'll be the weekend that still is Thanksgiving, and you can go be with your family. Some of you are probably not going to be here anyway, and that's okay. You go visit your family. There's one time in the year you go visit them, or let them come and see you. But we're going to have communion foot washing right after the first service. All right, everybody with me? Amen. We'll have one service, regular service like we're having now, and then we'll just go right on into communion and foot washing, and then we'll be finished. So one service next Sunday only, communion and foot washing, and our offering for our vision books. I want to thank each and every one of you. We're now giving close to $1,000 a month, and you're giving a big bulk of it to the vision book, so that's buying a lot of books. Amen. And buying a lot of church age books. They just send some to a country called Burundi or something like that. He sent a text, Brother Barry did, and I hadn't read it all, but we sure appreciate what you're giving. Also, my heart test came out about okay. Thank God for that. It was a 3, and considering Brother Boyd's was 1,100, I'm feeling pretty good. So, if you haven't had this, you ought to have it done. I know Brother Tony and Sister Esther's had it done, and Stephen Wilson and his wife's. It's simple. I was in there 5 minutes. You don't go in a tube. You go in a donut, and that donut cuts on for about 5 minutes. You got to hold your breath for about 30 seconds. You're out of there. And then when I was driving home, they sent the results. From 1 to 10, they don't worry about it. Then it graduates up into the 300, 400, 500s that you may have a blockage, but I do not. So, but just keep remembering me in prayer. Still have shortness of breath, still have chest pains. So we're going to see what else we can do. We're going to trust a great physician, number one. Amen. And continue on. But the old ticker's fine. So we appreciate the Lord for letting us do that. On December the 4th, just remember Brother Landland will be here with us. That's next Wednesday, normal, regular Wednesday, back to normal, regular Wednesday service. And also, Brother Stan Price will be with us. Now, he's just going to be here. He's bringing Brother Vernon up, so they'll all be here on Wednesday. So just keep Brother Landland in prayer. On December the 8th, Brother Ryan's already announced this, but I'll announce it again, will be our dinner after the service. Brother Vernon will be preaching here, and then we will go down to Hidden Acres. It will be a catered meal. It'll be regular vegetables, corn, green beans, mac and cheese, potatoes and gravy, rolls. And this year we're going to have baked boneless chicken breast, or grilled on a flat grill. And he's having pork chops, hand-cut, one-inch pork chops. So we're going to have some pork chops and boneless chicken breast baked on a grill. So we're going to try that, and surely you'll like one of them too. Just take your pick. But that's what we're going to have next, the Sunday on December the 8th. That's what we're going to have for our dinner. Plus, we'll have our regular activities that we do there and here. So, but we'll have preaching here, and then we'll go down there. All right? Also, remember December the 15th through the 22nd, Brother Luis and Sister Christine and I will be in Honduras. If the Lord's so willing, we got our tickets, and we're pretty much ready to go. So we sure love the Lord. We love those people down there, and Brother Luis is just very diligent with those folks down there, very diligent. Sister Christine, too. He keeps in touch with them all the time. He keeps them. I can't speak the language, but Brother Luis can. He can speak the language, and he can be connected with them down there in Honduras. So just keep that in your prayers. Let's go to Malachi 4. This little thought, the principal part of faith is what? Patience. That's the principal part of faith. It's patience. Having patience, Brother Brown said, with who? Patience with God, that he'll do exactly what he said he would do. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the good report today, Father. Now I pray that you would be with the ones that are sick, Father, that are not here, Lord, that you'll touch their bodies. Lord, Sister Johnny laying there, Father, I pray that you'd just comfort the family and be with each one, Lord. Be with her, Father, and just, Lord, just help her. And Lord, come into the time of life if time goes on, we're all going to face something. Lord, I pray that you'll comfort her. Give her strength, Lord. She still has that testimony of what a mighty God we serve. And it is a mighty God, Lord, you are. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with Brother Boyd, Lord. He looked really good yesterday, and we sure appreciate you touching him, even having to go through that, Lord. There's testimonies and miracles that he was doing some things, workout and all that was good, that didn't even hurt him, and that's wonderful. Lord, that you'll touch his body, Lord. It'll heal completely and whole, and he'll be back together with us, Father. Just be with each one during this Thanksgiving weekend as they travel, Lord, and go visit family, Lord, that they would take this light, Lord, that they have and shine before the people, Lord, a dying world that doesn't know anything about you, Lord. I pray that they would shine their light to a family member, or someone, Lord, wayward. Lord, it's short time. Bring them home. What a great Thanksgiving to have your kid come back home, to have your husband or wife or mom or dad come back home. I don't mean home in a house. I mean home to you, Lord. Because that's the only place, that's the only safe place there is in you, Father. Just cover us with your wings, Lord, today. Just give us our daily bread and forgive us of our many mistakes that we make, Lord. Just bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Read Malachi 4 real quick and then you'll be seated. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble. We don't want to be in that group. There is a way out. All right? And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb before all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. Now, we know that's two people, right? Same coming of Elijah, but it's two different people. John the Baptist did one. Then Brother Branham did the other. All right, the Elijah of the end time is doing the other. We'll break that down in just a minute. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. You may be seated. The Lord has blessing. Also, we read Revelations 10, 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, we have heard that voice. Amen. This is Tuesday night. This is not Wednesday night. It's Tuesday night. You've only had one day of work since Sunday. You ought to be happy. Tomorrow's the day you're supposed to hunt, go. Oh. When he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Revelations 18:3, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. That's what's coming now. That's what's coming. All right? I'm telling you, that's what's coming now. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Thank God we're not in that group. Thank God there is a group of people that will not ever happen to. And that's the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sins actually did go to heaven. It actually went to hell. And then God destroyed him, and then he went to heaven. And then he come back on the day of Pentecost to live inside of a group of people. Because we're going to be rewarded, but she's going to be rewarded double unto her according to her works in the cup which she has filled to her double. Amen. There's a time coming, folks, that this is just, we're sitting here today, and we sit here today and we have a Thanksgiving, and Gina and I went to Kroger just a few minutes ago, and buggies were full. People were driving in Mercedes and buying groceries and buying stuff. And you and I are going to do the same thing. May not be in a Mercedes, but we're going to go buy stuff and we're going to take it home. We're going to eat it. We're living good right now. But there's going to come a time that there's something going to come to where you and I are not going to be able to do this anymore. I want you, I know you say, well, I know Brother Branham said that. Well, you know what? It's going to come to pass. Amen. And if we believe we're the end time people, it's going to be in your life. Right. This is going to happen. Exactly. Okay? But don't be scared. God said he would take care of us. Amen. Hello? God said he would take care of us. Now, the government can say they'd take care of you. Baloney. Right. Your boss said he'll take care of you. Baloney. Yeah. Your job says it'll take care of you. Baloney. God's the only one that'll ever take care of you. Yeah. And we got to put our faith in him. Amen. Let that be our thanksgiving, that we put our faith in him and that his faith work. Let his faith be the one that takes us out of here. Amen. Yeah. This is a quote that Tim read, and I'll read it again. Because, look, what a message for the occasion to me. They were sitting there thinking, what has this got to do with Thanksgiving, Brother Branham? I'm sure he caught their thought. You may say, what's this all got to do with Thanksgiving? What you talking about, Brother Branham? Here it is, 8:45. You didn't say nothing about Thanksgiving. What a message for the occasion to me. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. He was preaching the greatest Thanksgiving message that ever was. Is that there's going to be a bride that's being separated from the world, as he said the Pilgrim Fathers were separated from the old English denomination and creed. They can marry to a new anointed word for their age. Brother Tim and I were talking afterwards I've looked back in a few, looked back at the history of Washington and Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin and all those people. There was never a recording. It was never recorded they went back to England. When they separated, they left that place. They probably left the house over there. They probably left family and possessions. Now, of course, it may have come on later, but when they came, that's why Jesus stood one day and he said, I didn't come to bring peace. He said, I come to bring a sword. He said, father's going to be against mother, children against their fathers. Amen? That's hard to believe, but you look at it, it's in my life and it's in yours right now. There is a division between Christianity and somebody that's not a Christian. If you're in that gray area and your kids don't know the difference, you need to get to praying. Or if your brother or family member or somebody don't know that you are different, you've been separated, you look different, you act different, you do different things, then you got a problem. Separated. And then what we're going to connect to, though, is marry to the new anointed word for their age. Well, what's the anointed word for our age? It's to come to a resurrection and then a body change, and then we'll leave this place. Amen. All right? It's not to come to justification. It's not to just come to sanctification. It's not just to come to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'll read it to you in a few minutes. Remember, Brother Branham said the Holy Ghost comes, and then the Holy Ghost, he makes way for the Holy Ghost himself. Well, now that sound to a theologian, that would sound kind of strange. But I understand it completely. Amen. We'll read it to him in just a few minutes. So we can be thankful as pilgrims like Abraham, separating ourselves from the things of the world. All of our associates. Abraham was a pilgrim. God has separated us from all the dead religions. Speaking across the nation now, all the dead creeds. Separated us and opened to us a new land. Now watch, a new message for this day. Amen. For this day. Amen. Pentecost dried up and died like Luther, Wesley, and the rest of them. It's no more than a bunch of churches pulled together. Good people has got to come out. And we know that we were one of those people. Right. Some of us may not even been born during that time, but some were, and you were in denominational ideas and Pentecost and all those different things. So what did he do? Now, here's what we're going to look. He opened. Something was closed. Right. Something was closed down through all the church ages that no man could get a hold of. Right. Everybody with me? Right. You see how special this message is. Amen. No one, I'm talking about Paul all the way to the great men coming up to the day of Pentecost, 1906 Azusa Street, the word was not fully opened until the prophet in the end time broke those seals, or the lamb broke those seals. Amen. Amen? That's why I'm telling you this transition. We got to transition, and I believe now I see what Paul's saying. We got to go on to perfection. Right. Not laying aside, not preaching on water baptism all the time. Right. Not preaching on you got to be good all the time. Right. I know you got to do that because there's a mixed audience and there's different people here. At different levels, but you still, we've got to come to a realization that unless you see, now not me, unless you see that the seals have been opened to you, you will not take a body change. Right. Amen. Do I hear an amen?
Amen?
You will not take a body change. You will go by the grave if that seal is not open to you completely. Right. I'll read it in just a few minutes where Brother Branham said that. Pretty much. He opened up the seven seals of the last message. You notice that. The seven seals, which all the mysteries of the seven church ages, was sealed with seven seals. The reformers didn't have time to do it in their day. They didn't live long enough. But this blessed revelation of the seven seals is open to us in this last day. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe now we do have an open book?
Amen.
We'll prove it to you in just a minute. I know you've read it before, but we're going to read it again. Just to review for a little while. Healing is the children's bread, 1965. It's in the atonement, and the atonement first is applied to our souls.
Amen.
And healing has always forerun every message. I'm slowing down now because I keep forgetting Luis is in there. And it's also been a means to gather people together. So we know, and we've been through it over and over again. Healing campaign got the attention of the people, turned the lights on to healing. But Brother Branham said that was a minor. We're trying to major on that minor. Everybody loves the healing campaign. But when Brother Branham transitioned, he already transitioned to perfection. Because he did that when the seals opened. He transitioned over into perfection. And as Brother Dale's always told us, he said, you read the titles after the seals. It's talking about eternity, and it's bringing something so positive, way more positive than we're guessing who Melchizedek is. But Brother Brown says, who is this Melchizedek? All the different things. Mighty God unveiled before us. Invisible union of the bride of Christ. Why did he preach that after the seals? Because it was an open book. So the atonement is first applied to our soul. That's why it's so important to be born again. If you're not born again, hurry. Amen. Hurry. Because you'll get left behind if you're not. And healing has always forerun every message. And it's also been a means to gather the people together. Many people will sponsor a healing campaign or meeting. Many will come to it. Or a song festival. But when it comes to a poor lost soul to get saved, there's not many people interested in that. But that's the main thing. Divine healing and singing festivals and so forth. Brother Bosworth says the bait on the hook. Right. And you show the fish the bait, not the hook. Right. Why? Because you won't catch anything if you show them the hook. Right. All right? But show them the bait. Let them get close enough to where they can bite on it. And then you can bring them in. By what? By your life. Now listen, your life is the bait on the hook.
Right. Amen.
The hook's Christ.
Right.
The hook's not you.
That's right.
The hook is Christ.
Right.
The bait is your life lived in front of somebody wanting to bite the same hook you bit.
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. And that's just the thing to get the people to listen a while till you can really present to them your message. That's what's been all these years. We've been fighting down through these ages, and we've been listening to different ones and listening to different ones and listening to different ones. Till now, I believe that it's honing time.
Yes.
It's honing time to where it's going to hone down to where if you're not in, you're out.
Yes.
And I don't mean a church. I mean you. God has did that in every age. Through every age, there's always been a healing campaign. And if it's a genuine healing campaign, behind that campaign always is a message.
Right.
There's never a sign given just for a sign. It's forerunning a message. Now, let me clear something up real quick. I know that some of you that look around in the message and different things, which is fine, but there's a lot of people, especially the ones that's left the message, their big hang-up is that Brother Branham stole stuff from different people. Is everybody with me? I know some of you that's been around, you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
That he stole, it wasn't wasn't this great mystery that he opened, all right? He got it from Schofield, or he got it from Clarence Larkin, or he got it from whoever that other brother was, and all the different ones, even he listed them. He said he looked at their messages.
Right.
But remember, they did not have a campaign like Brother Branham had. Clarence Larkin was right.
Amen.
Is everybody with me?
Amen.
But he wasn't a prophet.
Right.
He didn't have everything. That's a paradox that Schofield can talk about. We were talking about it Sunday at the restaurant. Schofield was back in the early 1900s or 1800s, 1900s, and he talked about a theophany in his writings. Right down, if you'll look in your writings, right here. Right below his commentary, he calls it a theophany.
Right.
And he talks about all these different things that Brother Branham read. But Schofield was a Trinitarian.
Right.
So he couldn't get all the way out, as Brother Branham said. He couldn't get out of that denomination he was in.
Right. Right.
Everybody with me? But Brother Branham, I steal sermons all the time. That's what Brother asked me. He said, He said, "Brother Wade, do you steal people's sermons?" I said, "Every service.
Amen.
Jesus preached them, and I'm preaching them again. I'm stealing from him. Amen. Brother Brandon preached 1,100 sermons. I picked the quotes out. I'm preaching from him. Right. So I'm a thief." Amen. Hey, listen, a thief is coming after a thief. He said, "I'll come as a thief in the night." Right. I just got that. So I am a thief. Like Brother Dale said, he's lazy as Jacob. Right. We're Jacob. We're shysters. We want the word more than anything. And if we do, then what's God going to do? That's the birthright that you and I are birthed under.
Amen.
We're birthed under that. We're not birthed under something else. We're not birthed under eating porridge and helping daddy and doing good. Because Esau did good. Esau was a good guy.
Right.
He was a worker. He took care of daddy. He went and hunted and shot the game. And Jacob really didn't do a whole lot. Except stay around his mama, as Brother Bram said, under his mama's coattail. But when it come down to the birthright, which you and I have that birthright tonight, the new birth,
Amen.
You want it more than anything.
Right.
You don't care how you get it.
Right.
I don't know about you, but that's the way I see it.
Amen.
So there were signs given. There was people that preached the truth. Listen, Martin Luther preached the truth, or he wouldn't have been a church age messenger. Wesley preached the truth, but they didn't preach all the truth. They didn't get us to perfection. There was no transition. The book was closed. They knew what they were talking about to a degree. Anointed ones at the end time. Now, look. Now, Brother Branham is telling us, and we're going to separate it right here in just a second. The very day when this messenger, not when he starts on. Now, look. Not when he starts what? The healing campaign. So listen, Brother Branham's message was not a healing campaign.
Right.
Now it came.
Right.
It was part of the message.
Right.
But what was that? Remember, that was a minor. You can't take a body change by listening to the prayer lines of the tapes. There's a lot of people I know that's all they'll do is listen to prayer lines because they get all emotional. They get all that. That's okay, but that's a minor.
Right.
Everybody with me? That's a minor. Major healing is the body change.
Amen.
Not when he starts on, but when he begins to declare his message. Now, when did he begin to declare his message? I believe, according to what I see in the message of the hour, about the time he got on the spoken word's original seed, he was getting there. Because remember, he thought he sowed a seed, he said. I'll read it here in a few minutes. He sowed a seed. He had everything. He said, sowed the entire word. But as of yet, Malachi 4 had not been completely fulfilled. He thought he was at the end. He was done. Got him out on a limb. Lord, where do I go next? The Holy Ghost said, "Hey, listen, buddy. Pick up your pen, and I want you to write this down." So this is not hearsay.
Right.
If we believe he was a prophet,
right,
we believe the Holy Ghost wrote that with his hand, with Brother Brown's hand.
Right.
So I believe that is truth then.
Right.
He said, as of yet, Malachi 4 has not been fulfilled.
Right.
It had been started, but it wasn't fulfilled.
That's right.
All right? And that's okay. Listen, I'm not so dogmatic that I cut the prayer line off and don't listen to it or read it when I'm reading a book.
Right.
I don't listen to many sermons. I read.
Right.
But I want to get the meat first.
Right.
If I don't understand what he's saying there, it's not going to give me any good over here.
Right. Amen.
Healing's wonderful. We all need something in our body tonight that needs to be healed.
Amen.
But it's only temporary. Brother Brown, you said you could be healed of cancer one day and die the next. Is that what he said?
Right.
One day difference. But we love it. But it's a secondary. It's a minor.
Right.
Let's major on the major.
Right.
Because remember, when the book begins to be open, as we're going to see here in a minute, when that book begins to be open, a lot of people didn't follow through that.
Right. Yeah.
Amen? They stayed back here. They didn't go any further with him. They stayed in old Pentecost, and they enjoyed the tongues, and they enjoyed this, and they enjoyed that. But when Brother Brown started preaching his message, people started going away. Holy Ghost filled people. Didn't turn him down. They just couldn't go as far as he went because it wasn't for their age. Just like I read y'all the other night in the sixth seal, the questions and answers. He says, gone from you, not for you. Just live a good, simple Christian life. In other words, these things will be brought up now that the book is open. There's going to be a book, open book people that's going to understand and not going to have any problem when Brother Branham says God and Christ are one. Not going to have any problem. I was reading the seals again or listening to them the other day coming back. And so adamant Brother Branham is talking about God being one. When that first seal opened, that was the one God. Now, he got a one God revelation before. But this was solidified when he saw something else go away and God was standing there. Now, Brother Brown wasn't God, but the Lamb was standing there. The Lamb's the only one that can open the seal. So who was? It was the Lamb through his voice. Right. Right. Everybody with me? Amen. It was a Lamb. Here stands a Lamb with a book in his hand, and there goes somebody. If there's two, therefore, one's got to be true and one's got to be false.
Right. Amen.
Pretty simple, but they didn't get that. Did it stop people from believing in a Trinity? No.
Nope.
They just shut the book back up and went off again.
Right.
All right, first pull, healing. Second pull, prophecy. Now we can get, and we'll get into the visions here a little bit later on. Because the first pull was, remember, it was fishing and it was catching little fish and it was getting stuff all tangled up. The line all tangled up. And Brother, I'm talking about tying up baby shoes. That's all an allegory. That's all something that Brother Brown breaks it down right here in this one quote right here. The first pull was the healing ministry. All right? Catching, trying to get the fish in. The second pull was taken, not taking them by the hand anymore. But remember, when he come into that second pull, he was telling them the thoughts and intents of their heart. Is that right?
Right.
And it was perfect. Never missed it one time.
Right.
Not one time.
Right.
So he's heading into that transition to perfection, even in the second pull.
Right.
But under that prophecy, there was imitation.
Right.
Brother Brown said, remember the angel said, they can't imitate this.
Right?
When we get to the third pull, the opening of the word, the mystery is revealed. Satan can't go there, folks.
Right.
That's what's going to destroy Satan, is that we're going to separate from him.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
I was looking at all of our bodies, you know, something, like I said, something's wrong with everybody. We just literally got to deny this outside of ourselves.
Right.
Just deny it. It ain't, it's like Brother, Brother Jimmy Harris. He said, this just ain't so. This is not what we're supposed to be.
Right.
This came to get us to a place, but this thing is just rotten. It stinks.
Yeah. Right.
But the thing inside of you is worth 10,000 worlds.
Amen.
Amen. Let's feed that thing.
Right.
Amen. Now look, third pull, the opening of the word, the mystery revealed. No more. Now look, there's no more higher order to reveal the word than prophets. So he had to step in. Now, he was a prophet from birth.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Right.
But he was fulfilling the second part of his prophetic ministry when he stood there and started opening those seals.
Amen.
We'll get to it in just a second. But the only way the prophet can be vindicated is by the word. And remember, the third pull was the opening. Now, here's what the third pull is. Wake up and realize the third pull is the opening of the seals. When that mighty angel came down in Revelation 10,
right.
And the voice came from the seventh angel, John listened to him because he was top of the bride.
Right.
And that seventh angel messenger did not have the book. Come on, we'll read it in a minute. That book was in the hand of the mighty angel.
Right.
That mighty angel gave it to John.
Right.
But it took a seventh angel messenger to what? Literally turn us to Christ. the real person. Now, he wasn't false back here, but I'll read it to you in a minute because I've read it to you many times before. Brother Brown said the Holy Ghost can only work on what you give him. Because it's been bound by denominations for 2,000 years. Right. Bound. The Holy Ghost has been bound by what? Our traditions. Amen. That river Euphrates is in your brain. Right. It ain't a river over yonder. There's not a bunch of, you know, people holding down. Right. Your thoughts and ideas. Contrary to the word of God. Remember, the third pull was the opening of them seven seals to reveal the hidden truth that's been sealed in the Word. They could not get it. It was sealed up. All right, end time seed sign. There's a revival going on. What is it? A sowing. You don't hear very much of Billy Graham no more. This is 1962. All right, now look, 1962. Things were winding down in that first part of the ministry. Even his, he'll say, even mine. What about oral? What about the rest of them? You know the great revival fire is not burning. What is it? It's the end time seed sign. The words has been sown. What is it? Denominational will reap denominational. That makes them confederate themselves together. Now somewhere, folks, we're living in that time where we're going to see every church denomination come together under one head. Come on, don't un-amen that. That's exactly what's going to happen. Exactly. We're going to be left out.
Right.
But the word of God has been sowed also. And when the Spirit of God begins to fall, now watch. When the Spirit of God begins to fall, the word of God will live in the people.
Right.
This is not a tape ministry. This is a live people ministry.
Right.
And that false bride that's committed adultery out there and brought herself into creeds and sold out her birthright will reap what? A confederation of church that's to be bound and burned like thorns and thistles. But where the word of God's been sowed into the people's heart. The former rain is the sowing rain. We have been under that rain for a long time. God's getting ready to harvest. He's going to send the harvest rain to harvest what he planted from the day of Pentecost to today.
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart. It will reap a bride for Christ as certain as I'm standing here. End time signs. In 1962, this is where I'll quote this, where Brother Branham talks about pick up your pen and write. This is 1962. God has promised, be careful, God has promised Malachi 4 for this last day. And Malachi 4 has not yet been fulfilled, but it must be fulfilled. All right, is everybody with me? That's 1962. Now, the first part of it had been fulfilled, but not the whole completion of it.
Right.
All right? We'll break it down in just a minute. For it is a germatized word of God spoken through Malachi the prophet. Jesus referred to it. It is to be just before the coming of Christ the second time. Listen close. All scripture that's not been fulfilled must be before that time. The Bible has to be finished, The Gentile dispensation is to be finished with the church age when this anointed messenger arrives. But of course, he will plant the seed of the entire Bible from the serpent to the messenger in the former rain. Then he will be rejected. Who's he talking about? Himself. Then he will be rejected by the denominational people as his forefather, John and Elijah, as was spoken by our Lord. Restoration of the bride tree. Now, what we got to do is now we're going to start separating. All right? Everybody with me? Come out of her, my people. All right? Because if you look at Brother Branham, all during his messages up until here in 62, he pretty much talks about three manifestations: justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Everybody with me?
Right.
All right? Now, when you get to 1962, the restoration of the bride tree, spoken words, original seed, some other messages. I only brought one quote, but there's several others. He talks about four. All right? Because you got to restore back the full word.
Right. Amen.
All right? The full word. If four messengers of death killed the tree, four messengers of life will restore it.
Right.
I will restore. He's not going to restore just part of the limbs. He's going to restore that tree back to the leaves.
Right.
Then to the seed.
Yeah.
He's not going to just start with and have half limbs over here and some of them dead. No, he's going to restore the whole tree back. By four death messengers killed it, then four life messengers will restore it. What was the first? Martin Luther, justification. What was the second? John Wesley, by sanctification. What was the third? Pentecost, with the restoration of the gifts, the Holy Ghost, baptism of the Holy Ghost. What was the fourth? The Word. Now, it wasn't that the Word, I want you to get that, they didn't teach all false word. They had truth, but they didn't have all the truth. They were not working under an open book. And they will be in bride. They will be the bride.
Amen.
Come on. Martin Luther will have a group that stand over there in the sixth dimension waiting on us to bring them here. John Wesley's waiting on a group over there. Even John Smith and different ones. Dwight Moody.
Right.
Yeah. But they never had a complete message like this prophet in the end time. They never had a completion. They never were required to bring everything back to the way it was before.
That's right.
Here's where in a masterpiece, I read it to you the other day. Justification made a way for sanctification. Sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I hope you realize in this church, we believe in those works of grace.
Yes.
Amen. We believe in every one of them, and we believe in going over them again. Huh?
Right.
There's a higher form, Brother Brown says, of justification, a higher form of sanctification. Because sanctification wouldn't even make you bride now. But sanctification under the I die daily in the stature of a perfect man will make you better, will make you a what? A mature Christian.
Amen.
And mature Christians is what God's looking for.
Right.
He's not looking for a bunch of babies. Sanctification made way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost, all right, if you got one justification, two sanctification, three the baptism of the Holy Ghost, made a way for the Holy Ghost itself to come right down in perfection back to the Word again to manifest itself.
Right.
All right? To me, that's the open book. Because remember 1957, I read you this quote several times. We need something to work on before the Holy Ghost can ever go to work. That's why Brother Brown stood there that day and he said, he's been bound for 2,000 years by creeds. Whose creeds? Your creeds. Their creeds. The world's creeds. He's been bound. But he's got to have something to work with. You know that's right. We grieve the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry. Point your finger at me. If you've never felt grieved in your heart, you don't have the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Amen. Oh, I just don't have that kind of, I don't live that kind of life. Well, I don't live that kind of life either that I used to before. But I do live a human life.
Right.
Somebody ever cut you off? I'm not going there. That's the biggest one. People cutting somebody off in a car. It's just demon cars, I guess. I don't know, but you start talking about that and everybody's like, it's just a car. It's just a driver.
Right.
I used to do the same thing, but now I say, bless them, Lord. Don't let them have a wreck.
Yeah, right.
It's those little things. They don't make me no better than anybody else. I'm not going to stop and help somebody on the side of the road. I'm sorry. Unless God brings my car and rolls it over in front over here and off the side, I ain't going to stop and help nobody. I'm just sorry. I'm that way. But if the Lord directs me, I sure will. But I drive by, I said, Lord, send them somebody better than me that can work on that car.
Right.
That can get that car going. Because if I stop and the motor's blowed up, I'm just going to go, what I do? What are you going to do?
Right.
If they got a flat tire and they don't have a spare and you don't have a spare, you're still worthless.
Right.
But God sends somebody by there that's got a spare tire. I may be crazy, but I just believe God will do it, too.
Right.
And I don't have to look back in the rearview mirror to figure out if he did or not.
Right.
Aren't we supposed to make this world better? This world is never better without the bride. The bride makes the world a better place.
Amen.
Right.
That's right.
So her messenger in Malachi 4, He's promised to do it. And the message, this is birth pains, is to bring back the word. Bring the people back to the word. Birth is to be, she's to be delivered of a new birth, not a new birth. Everybody with me? Not a new way. He's bringing back the old way that happened on the day of Pentecost to today. Not shake a hand, not speak in tongues, not this, not that. That everybody has decided this is what's going to happen. To be delivered of a new birth from according to Malachi 4. What did Malachi 4 birth do? It turns you back to the original faith of the fathers. All right? Now, let's break it down real quick. Maybe we'll just stop at the end of this. This is from the Laodicean church age. Now, we've read this many, many times before. And Brother Brown tells us this messenger, Malachi 4 and Revelation 10:7, is going to do two things. All right? We kind of slide through these things sometimes and don't break them down, but let's break them down for a minute. Number one, according to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. What is that? The hearts of the babbling Pentecostal baby children that believe speaking in tongues is it, that believes that they have to have a healing campaign, that believes they have to have a shout, that believes they have to have tongues and interpretations every service or they're lost. Hello?
Right.
All right. But what does it do? Brother Anderson, when God turns your heart back to the original faith of the fathers, you're born again.
Right.
You get the new birth.
Right.
You are redeemed.
Amen.
All right, everybody with me?
Right.
Y'all must be thinking about turkey. That's okay. Revelation 5. So let's turn to Revelation 5. Let's break this down in just a few minutes. Now remember, the messenger of Malachi 4 is to do two things. One, he's to turn the hearts. What is your heart? Your heart's not what thumps. Your heart is your soul.
Amen.
He's going to turn your soul back to the faith of the fathers. Your soul was what? Claimed by the devil. That old nature was attached to it. And as Brother Tim was talking about, and I've said, we've all said it many times before, unless your old husband's dead, you can't get born again.
Amen.
You cannot marry Christ if you have a living husband.
Amen.
That's just a fact.
Right.
Can't hang him up. He's got to be dead.
Amen.
So that's what Brother Brown come preaching. Get the new birth. Remember the healing campaign. Bring them in. Preach to them Christ.
Right.
Bring them in. Preach to them Christ. Not so much mysteries.
Right.
Sure, he went in all that. But remember, he said, if ever I bring a message of doctrine, I bring it at the tabernacle. Right.
Right?
So now let's go to Revelation 5. Now, what is Revelation 5? Revelation 5 is redemption.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Amen. Yep.
That's where you see yourself redeemed. Right?
Yeah.
But not matured.
Right.
I prove it to you in Revelation 10. Why would we need a mighty angel to come down with an open book if everything of redemption is over in Revelation 5? We know it is. We know redemption's over. As many people say, you know, you can't get saved because redemption's over. In 1963, this person came off the mercy seat. Brother Branham was projecting a mystery down to right here today. There will be a day.
Amen.
There will be a day when Jesus steps off of that mercy seat and it becomes a judgment seat. And listen, he's not going to sit down again.
That's right.
He's not going to reset down as the denominations say, you can get saved after the rapture takes place. When he gets up off that mercy seat, when that last name is called, what's he going to do with that open book? He's going to close it.
Amen.
And it's going to be closed until you see it in the book of Revelations 19, 20, 21, when the book was opened.
Right. Amen.
Amen? But that's a judgment book then. That's not a book of redemption.
Right.
That's a book of judgment.
Right.
Am I correct?
Amen.
All right. So now I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed. All right, so it was sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof?" No man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look on it. This book was so sacred. There was only one person that could take this book. Right. Now remember, who was sitting on the throne? The Father. Everybody with me? God. The man that took the book back from Adam. Amen. Held it until Christ came. And then Christ had to die and go on to release the names out of this book. The Lamb took the book and opened it. And the reading of the names of everyone in that book started on the day of Pentecost. And every sermon that was preached, every name that was called, everyone that was born again was in that book and their name was called. Tonight, he's calling your name. Do you hear it?
Amen.
John had a fit when he saw his name.
Amen.
And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." Now, we can get in all these symbols, but not tonight. "The root of David hath prevailed to open the book and loose those seven seals," loose the seven seals thereof. "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders." Now, who are the four beasts? That's your new birth. All right? So, under this message of Malachi 4, let me give you a little hint. If you don't see your name in the book, it wasn't there to begin with. If you don't see your name, that God sent us a prophet to show us who we are in that book, then you got a problem. I can see my name in everything from when God in Genesis 3:15 said, "I'll put enmity between thy seed and the woman's seed, and I'm going to come and I'm going to bring it back together." Well, who'd he bring it back together for?
Right.
Us.
Amen.
He brought it back together for me and you.
Right.
"When he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." Don't think your prayer doesn't mean anything. It's mentioned right here. "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. And hast made us." What did this taking of the book do? He redeemed what was in the book. Now, it wasn't open yet.
Right.
He took the book out of the hand of the owner, the original owner, and then he opened them. Then he opened the book.
Amen.
Right?
That's right?
Right? And what did that do? During that time, it made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. "And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. The number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." Boy, what a bride.
Amen.
"Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings."
Amen.
You and I proclaimed with a loud voice. When you got born again, I don't care if you just said, "Thank you, Lord."
That's right.
That rang into eternity. All the angels in heaven said, "Another one."
Amen.
Another one's been called. There's another one that's come. That's me. So worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches. But what's he going to do with that, though? He's going to transfer it to a bride. Because he's fixing to take the power that's in this book that's sealed up, he's fixing to give it to somebody. Everybody with me? Amen. All right, we'll be done in just a second. Let's read what Brother Branham said. Now look, he's not an animal. He took the book. In a symbol form, he was a lamb. But it was a human being. It was your kinsman redeemer. It was God in human flesh. He took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Who was it? The owner, the original owner that had the book of redemption in his right hand. No angel, no angelic being, nothing else could take the place. And this bloody lamb walked out and took the book out of his hand. What was it? Brother, this is the most sublime thing in the scripture. The most sublime thing in the scripture. An act that not an angel, not nothing could do it. And the Lamb come and took it from the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. What is it? Now it belongs to the Lamb. Right. Okay, now this book doesn't belong to the Father. We know they're the same person. It's just a transfer of power. Because remember, what does right hand mean? Right hand's power. He didn't just take it, like Brother Branham said, from a big old right hand. No, he took the power and gave it to the Lamb because the Lamb was worthy. Yes. The breach. Now watch real close. This is something you must get. Now he has been doing his mediatorial work, making intercession for the believer. For 2,000 years. What? Church ages. Is everybody with me? Amen. For 2,000 years, he'd been back there a lamb. Now he's stepping forth from eternity to take the title deeded book.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And to break the seals.
Right.
And reveal the mysteries. Sir. When of it at the end time.
Amen. That's right.
Do you get it?
Amen.
I'll say it again. At the end time.
Right.
All right, we'll go on then. Now, break the seals and release all the mysteries to them. All right, to the seventh angel whose message is to reveal all the mysteries of God. The mysteries of God lays in these seven seals. See, that's what he said here. All the mysteries lays in these seven seals. Excuse me. And the Lamb comes forth. Now, from being a mediator between God and man, all right, the Lamb, right?
Right.
He now becomes a lion.
Right.
A lion of the tribe of Judah. Come to take over. He's come to possess you.
Yes.
Body, spirit, and soul.
Amen. Amen.
That's his right. Now watch. When he becomes a lion, he takes the book. That's his rights.
Right.
Remember, he bought us the rights.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. He's the one that bought our redemption.
Right.
Nobody, but now the Lamb comes. Nobody could take the book. It's still in the hands of God. No pope, priest, whatever it might be. They can't take, no, the book. The seven seals hasn't been revealed. See? But when the mediator, when his work is done as an intercessor, he comes forth. And John, the elder, said, he's a lion. He comes forth. So what has he done now? He's got the book. Brother Branham said, 2,000 years, he's had the book.
Amen.
I'm going to read it again.
Right.
2,000 years, nobody could take it, pope, priest. All the mysteries laid in the seals. They're being released when? Only the seventh angel.
Right.
Only the seventh angel is this released to. All right? And we're recipients of that seventh angel. Because
right.
We are the voice. We hear the voice and become the voice.
Yes. Right.
Everybody with me?
Right.
So, one, he's to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers.
Right.
Help us realize we've been born again and we still got some extra to do.
Amen.
Right? We still got some extra.
Yes.
Because this thing's got to be open. Somewhere between Revelation 5 and Revelation 10:7, the book got open. But then who showed up? John. John showed up in this whole scenario. So two, now watch the second part, and then we'll close right after we get done with this. Two, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders. Not in the first part. Not Revelation 5. Never Revelation 5 is your redemption. No doubt. But there's more to it than that. We got to defeat the devil. I guess y'all don't want to. This ought to excite you. This ought to make you happy that this is happening to you, not somebody else. You. He will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders. The only way he can do it is what? With an open book. That's why Brother Bram always refers to Malachi 4 and Revelation 10:7. Because he said, according, back over here, I'll read it one more time. Now, this message of Malachi 4 and Revelation 10:7, he's putting the two scriptures as part of his ministry. One is going to what? It's like I said, it's going to show the redemption of the people, how it's done. Then two, the mysteries are going to be revealed, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. It will be these divinely revealed. The only way it can be divinely revealed is when, if Christ reveals it. That's why we had to have a prophet, a conduit that Christ could speak through. All right, everybody with me? Reveal these mystery truths that literally turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. In other words, literally changes your body. Right. So now let's read this for a second. And then we'll hear Brother Bram comment a few times and then we'll close. Revelation 10:1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. I like the way God hides that, because it said another mighty angel, and that's a little A. You wouldn't think that was Christ. You'd think, because listen, there's angels all through Revelations. Another angel come down. Another angel spoke. Amen? But Brother Brown said, only Christ this is. Yeah. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. You know why he said that? Because look, Revelations 1 tells you who that is. Yeah. He's clothed with a cloud, yeah. Rainbow on his head, face was as a sun, feet as pillars of fire. But he had something in his hand. He had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. Right. What was he doing? He was taking possession. Yeah. Yeah. He was taking possession. And cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. Remember, he was a lamb. Now he's coming over here to be the lion. Because remember, what does a prophet do? A prophet brings you and I the truth and eternal life and redemption. But what does it do to the people that rejects him? Right? It seals him away in a different group. They turn him away. So this is judgment. A prophet brings judgment. Because Brother Brown threw the thing up and he said, judgment will strike the West Coast. Why didn't Billy Graham do that? Why didn't Oral Roberts do that? It wasn't for them to do it. It took a prophet to do that. The voice of God to do that. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. All right, we're going to stick something in here real quick because we'll cover them in just a little bit later on in the service sermon. He was about to write what he saw. So there was something there for him to write. Yeah. Everybody with me? Right. It wasn't seven people. It wasn't seven voices of seven men. That was a doctrine a long time ago. Well, guess what? All them seven men are passed away. Amen. So that voice is silenced. Right. Don't put it on a man. Right. Let Christ do it. Amen. But John was about to write it, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. We'll get into what Brother Bram says about that a little bit later. No, not tonight. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, who are you talking about? And the things that they are in, the earth, things that they are in, the sea, things that they are in, that there should be time no longer. All right? You and I don't have a time. You and I don't have a time. Israel has a time. This same scene is in the book of Daniel. But it's seen by Daniel, which is a Jew, given to the Jew. And it says time, times, and the dividing of times. They have 3.5 years. Right. You and I have had 60-something years of ministry from Brother Branham. Right. Or longer, 70.
Amen?
Amen?
Right.
It's about time for time to be over. All right, so John says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. And the voice which I heard, now this is John, who's I? John is I.
Right.
All right? Now, don't get up and leave. He's not talking about that seventh angel anymore. Come on. You with me? Brother Dale told us a long time ago, John inserted that in knowing that the seventh angel, when he was writing all that other stuff about, I don't say stuff, but all those other first church age down to number 7, he knew there had to be a prophet come on the scene, and he screamed out, but in the days of the voice of that man,
right,
these things will happen, but it won't be him that fulfills it all.
Right. Amen.
Everybody with me? And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me. Now look, these I's and me's
Amen.
Are John.
Amen.
These I's and me's are you and I.
That's right.
Or I and me and you. Because
right.
John tops the entire bride, right?
Yeah.
Everybody with me? We can be done right here. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again. And said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. Now look, if it hadn't have been for that verse 7,
right.
We wouldn't have known where it came from.
Right.
We wouldn't have known where it was going to come from.
Right.
But from that seventh angel's message is going to come an open book.
Amen. Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
An open book to me and you. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me, John,
yes.
And said, go and take the little book. Now listen, remember, he's not talking to the seventh angel anymore.
Right.
The seventh angel has one thing to do. Sound a voice.
Right?
Sound a message. Right? Somebody's got to pick that up. So John, being type of bride, picks it up.
Yep.
Everybody with me? And I, John, bride, went unto the angel. Now remember, the seventh angel never had that book in his hand. Hello? I know that hurts your feelings, but show it to me. It says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished as he has declared to the servants of the prophets. Didn't say he had that book in his hand. But we know where it had to come from. It had to come from that seventh angel. But he's not here right now.
Amen.
So he can't fulfill what's coming in Scripture.
Right.
Sorry, but... And I went unto the angel. What? The angel that had the book. Who's got the book? The mighty angel. Christ has that book. That's why Brother Branham, he stopped right there in the middle of the seals, and he said, this has been the most, supernatural happening in my whole ministry, in other words.
Yeah. Right.
Why? He knew he wasn't preaching the seals.
Right.
God was preaching them. The Lamb was preaching them.
Amen.
The Lamb was doing all the work. Because Brother Branham will tell you, and we'll read it. First seal, he said, I'd have made a horrible mistake. Second seal, he said, I don't know what the second seal is. Third or fourth seal, he goes back and says, I was looking at some old notes. In 1958, Brother Branham preached The Mighty Conqueror. I read it the other day myself. And he read that scripture, Revelations, when the first seal was open. That was a mighty conqueror, the Holy Ghost. He thought the fifth seal Jew, which he didn't think was a fifth seal Jew, he thought it was the bride, the souls under the altar. Hello, somebody. I'm not belittling Brother Branham. I'm telling you how perfect that transition from this over here to this over here went from partial to perfect.
Amen.
He never went back and preached that again. He preached it all right here.
Right.
And we're not going to throw our books away and our tapes away from 47 to 63.
Amen.
Without that, the mighty angel's not coming to you. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. I want it so bad. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up.
Amen.
And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Look, and he said unto me, John, the bride. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings.
Amen.
Listen to what Brother Branham said in the breach. At the sounding of the seventh church age, the last church age, all the loose ends that through these church ages have been probed at will be wound up together. And, now watch, and when the seals are broke and the mystery is revealed, down comes the angel. Oh, which one? The mighty angel. Right? The messenger, Christ, setting his foot upon the land and upon the sea with a rainbow over his head. Now remember, this seventh angel is on the earth at the time of this coming. So at the time of that descending of the, not the person, not the flesh person, Jesus, what? Christ. Christ is the anointed one. Right? The, not A. He's the anointed. So the seventh angel had to be there to grab that anointing. Come on. He had to grab that anointing, and he took it in himself, and he preached it. Well, when he preached it, I, John, took the book out of the hand of the one on this right here. He didn't take the book out of the hand of this angel. Don't get quiet. I just read it.
Amen.
I just read it. That doesn't belittle Brother Branham. It puts him in his perfect place.
Yes.
That there's no way to hear it without him.
Right.
There's no way to take that book. You got to know who to take it from.
Amen.
There's a lot of people got a lot of books. Listen, Satan's got a book open too.
Right.
And he's wanting to feed you out of that book also. Just as John was giving his message the same time that Messiah came in the day, John knew he would see him because he was going to introduce him. Remember, Brother Branham? The angel said, just as John the Baptist, forerunner the first coming of Christ. Now remember, I don't believe you'll ever find where he said you. He said your message will forerun the second coming of Christ.
Right.
Now I want you to understand clearly, I'm not belittling Brother Branham. He's got a place. But we've got to take the book.
Amen.
We've got to take the book.
Amen.
It's no use for us to look at the seven seals messages and just say, well, that's all Brother Branham. Well, what are we going to do? What are we even doing here?
Amen.
What are we doing here?
Right.
There's a part we got to play.
Right.
And that part is in the book of Revelations. Thank God Brother Branham said John was the top of the entire bride.
Right.
Oh, we'd have never known that either.
Amen.
John knew he would see him because he was going to introduce him. And we realize that in the scripture over in Malachi 4, there's to be one like John and Elijah to whom the word of God can come to, and he's to reveal by the Holy Spirit all the mysteries of God. and restore the faith of the children back to the faith of the apostolic fathers. Now watch this read, and then we'll close. Musicians, come on. Now watch real close. Now watch. This is a prophet now. He said, this is something you must get. Everybody with me? Are you awake and paying attention?
Amen.
This is something you must get. Now, he had been doing his mediatorial work, making intercession for the believer. For 2,000 years, he had been back there a lamb, period.
Right.
Now, and Brother Brown says now, he's stepping forth from eternity to take the title deeded book and to break the seals and reveal the mysteries. When of it? At the end time. Do you get it? All right. We'll go on then. Now break the seals. Release the mysteries to the seventh angel, whose message is to reveal all the mysteries of God. The mysteries of God lays in those seven seals. That's what he said here. All the mysteries lays in the seals. And the Lamb comes forth now from being a mediator between God and man. He become a lion. And when he become a lion, he takes the book. That's his rights. God held it, the mystery, but now the Lamb comes. Nobody could take the book. It was still in the hands of God. No pope, priest, whatever it might be, they can't take the book. The seven seals hadn't been revealed. But when the mediator, when his work is done as an intercessor, he comes forth, and John the elder said he's a lion, and he comes forth. He heard the noise of a thunder. This is the first seal. And one of the beasts said, now come and see. In other words, here stands the Lamb. And John standing out there watching it happen. And the Lamb comes up from the throne like he'd been slain, blood all over him. He was the one that was found worthy. And when he reached over and took the book, then everything began to shout and scream, carrying on, because they knew redemption was paid for. Now he continues on. He talks about the white horse. He said, all that sounds good, because this is the teacher said that it was the Holy Ghost conquering in the first age. But my revelation of it by the Holy Spirit is not that way. My revelation by the Holy Spirit is Christ and the Holy Spirit is the same person, only in a different form. So here stands Christ the Lamb. We know he was the Lamb. He's standing here with the books in his hand, and there goes the white horse rider. See, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Now, that's one of the mysteries of the last day, how that Christ can be three persons in one. It's not three different persons. And he continues on and tells them, talks to the people. So now, and how could Christ be out there, on, in other words, with a white horse conquering and standing here with the book in his hand? It isn't so. It isn't Christ. Notice the Holy Spirit in Revelation. The Holy Spirit is Christ in another form. Notice, it is a lamb that opened the book, and the lamb is Christ. And Christ is not seen anymore from then, but he is seen in the book of Revelations coming on a white horse. We'll stop right there. Let's stand. So what are we getting into? We're getting into a transition to where, absolutely, there was a time when Brother Branham preached the mighty conqueror was that white horse rider, not knowing that it was the devil himself. But when Christ come and said, all right, this is your job. You're the one here to open these seals. I'm going to show you in the Bible this is what you got to do. And when he saw that, that's why he said, I don't know what the second seal is. On the end of the second seal, he said, I don't know what that third seal is. He had come to the conclusion that he was just going to wait on God and let God bring the truth to him. And then, you know what? We don't go backwards from there. We go forward. We go forward in Revelation. You can't go backwards in Revelation. You got to go forward. I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you know that Lamb? Do you know that Lamb? Do you know it's so sure that we'll read it later on where Brother Branham says in another quote, he says, here stands a lamb with a book in his hand, and there goes the white horse rider. Here, he was identifying the lamb was there because he said the lamb could only open the seals, so Brother Branham couldn't open them. That's why he said, I've never worked in this kind of realm before. Why? God was so close like he'd never been before. And Brother Branham knew that when he would look at that scripture and the angel would say something, and he'd look and he'd say, that was not what I was thinking. So he knew right then that God was going to give him the perfect and divine interpretation of the word. For who? Not to people sitting there, because he's going to say that. on the questions and answers. It's for our group of people coming. Amen. You and I are that group of people. Amen. That this is all the fighting and fussing and arguing and all this and that. It's over. This is the truth, and that's it. There's nothing else. Let's sing a song. God bless you.
Oh, this is the evening time. It's later than you think. The bride.
To meet our lover, to meet our husband, the one that died for us, the one that took that book and opened the seals.
The bridegroom I
hear. Sing it to him.
Oh, he that hath an ear to hear, the evening time is here.
Sing it to him.
Oh, yes, this is the evening time.
It's not morning. It's not afternoon. This is the evening time of everything. Don't be afraid. Don't have fear. Fear has torment. Don't worry about tomorrow. God's got tomorrow in his hand.
And all things are ready.
Don't let it scare you. We're made for this. Somebody's made for this time. You can decide whether you want to be that or not. But there's somebody made for this time right here. Somebody's going to have the faith. Somebody's going to have the determination, the patience, the faith, the virtue, the knowledge, the temperance, the patience, the godliness, the brotherly kindness, and another outpouring of the Holy Ghost to seal it all together. Somebody's going to do it standing on this earth in this generation. Why can't it be us? We let things get in our way. We bind him. My hand up first. We bind him. Let's lay it loose. Don't be afraid to let God do what he wants to do. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of what's coming. Are we building a kingdom here? Do we want to go keep going to hospitals? Do we keep wanting to keep going to funerals? We keep wanting to have these aches and pains. I was thinking today, there's not one thing, not one, any ailment anybody's ever had is in that sixth dimension right now. Not one. It never passed through and went into that sixth dimension. It stayed right here. But I don't know about that fifth dimension. Weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. Brother Brown said it had no foundation. You felt like you were falling. What a horrible place to be. But I promise you, everything you say, oh, my brother died of this, and my sister died of this, and my, you know, that died of this. It ain't over there. It ain't over there at all. It stays right here. So now what if we bring a little bit of that here? It's going to shed off. And like Brother Brown said, he said, death's going to come up your sleeve. Everybody, I don't care who you are, when you say death, you have this little twinge of fear. Hello? I don't care how old or young we are. We all have that one like today. You know, I'm like, man, you know, is this going to be 50 blockages? Am I going to, you know, no. I went in there and I said, God, there ain't a thing I can do but trust in you. Not one thing I can do. I can eat better. Sure, I can walk. I can run. I can quit eating fried chicken, maybe. But there's nothing I can do to take that away but you. You're the only one that can sustain my life. Now, if we start believing it like that, even when we have to go to the doctor and we don't feel good, say, God, you're the sustainer. You're the one that can. And I told those doctors that were getting ready to work on Brother Boyd, I said, you're not going to put these cells back together. You're not going to forge these cells back together. You're going to put them close enough to where God can put them back together. Amen? You can't. There's no way. They've never done that before. But God can do it. And he does it all the time. What a mighty God we serve. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening you've given us. Lord, I wish a wonderful and happy Thanksgiving to each one, Father. That you'll go with them, Lord, and these words will not return void, but they'll accomplish, Lord, what they're set out to do, Lord. It's to take a bride into perfection. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with the ones that are sick, Lord. Be with the family of Sister Johnny, Lord. Be with Brother Boyd and all the different ones, Sister Mary, all the different ones we think about often, Lord. Sister Gail, all the different ones, Lord, that we hadn't seen in a while. Father, we pray that you'd give them spiritual comfort, Father. We ask you to just bless us now and take care of us as we go from here, Lord, and have a little time of Thanksgiving with our family. I pray, Lord, that will spark something in our heart to try to say, Lord, I want to get with my spiritual family. I want to be with them all the time for an eternity. Father, I pray that you'd hasten the day, Lord, that we get out of this place. We pray in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Remember Sunday, one service, and the offering. We'll only have one service, communion and foot washing, right after that first service on Sunday. God bless you. Pray for us Friday night. If you want to go to Brother Martin Villarreal's, look it up online, and you find out how to get there.